Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
We have a public hearing for the speed detection system in school zones.
Basically, this sets up the skeleton for the system. It does not implement any speed detection devices in any certain location. That'll be brought back to the board in the future once there's further review and areas have been identified. But this system, under the relatively new Florida statute, provides for the automated detection of those who go over 10 miles an hour over the posted speed limit for school zone speed limit. So it's not like someone over 3 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour. You have to be at least 10 miles an hour over that to even trigger this system. So this sets up the skeleton for it, and then we come back to the board for more specific locations once they're determined.
So Santa Rosa County Commission meeting on Thursday, as David had reported on Friday, but I like to dig into things a little bit more in the detail and get to hear you all the drama, all the fun, and analyze it a little bit for you. Santa Rosa County votes to create a framework ordinance that will allow eventually the placement of school speed zone cameras at any school around the county. Carrie Smith, quick to point out, this is not just speed cameras everywhere, which it's amazing how people, well, maybe it's not amazing. I was going to say it's amazing how people get the wrong idea from social media. Maybe it's actually amazing when they ever get the right idea from social media. Maybe that's the thing we should celebrate. Oh, hey, look, you got one right. Well done. Because what apparently people thought was, no, that's Santa Rosa County. They're putting up speed zone cameras on Chemukla Highway and on 87. And everywhere you go, it's gonna be right on your Google phone. Right on your Google phone is going to give you straight off. You don't even need to have a cop or camera. It's just going to. That should be an April Fool's. everybody's going to get speeding tickets right off of your phone. It's right there in the licensing agreement, son.
Gotten a few calls from constituents concerned about it, but a lot of the information they had received, it was a general situation, not a school zone area. So immediately when everybody heard that it was a school zone, they were just, oh, okay, just making sure it wasn't. So a lot of people, for some reason, I don't know if it was social media or driven or what, but a lot of people had the misunderstanding that we were putting cameras everywhere to govern this, and a lot of people were, you know, very relieved to know it was just school zones, and they were very supportive of it.
Can you just for a second imagine you're a county commissioner? Or I'm sure Brad Baker, you know, gets the same calls to him all the time. You know what I heard? Do tell. Y'all are putting speed cameras up on every street in the county. We sure enough are. What do you know? Like, can you imagine? And yet, because people aren't, I'll tell you, because we're 11 and a half months away. I'm actually writing down this idea. I might do this for my next April Fools. It'd be kind of a fun one to do. That they're putting up, you know, right off your phone. Because I did one years ago when I was living in Phoenix because they had speed cameras on the interstates in Phoenix, but they were always that same kind of, you know, you had to be more than 11 over or something like that. And then they shut them down, and the April Fool was they're being reactivated at 1 mile an hour over as of today. Right. So people are driving to work at the speed limit. Exactly. Because people don't know. because you don't listen or read or watch. Because if you did, you'd know that was nonsense. But, you know.
Wait, you really did that?
Yeah, that was one of April Fool's. And I'm serious.
I bet Phoenix Police Department was happy with you.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes you find out later who hates you. anything could happen. Now I'm actually going to write that one down because I actually like that one for next year. And you're like, I'll remember it. No, you won't. No, you won't. That's the best thing about it. It's 11 months away.
Support of it as well. I view this very similar to the cameras that are on the school buses. When you have someone that drives past the school bus that's got the lights on, the stop arm out, and somebody still is so self-centered and impatient, they're going to drive past a school bus and put a child's life in danger. I view this very similar.
Yeah, so Colton Wright's on board, Bobby Burkett.
For school zones, for the cameras, I'm in support of that if it's going to save a child's life. I'm just blown away at some of the speeds that people went through speed zones at. It's crazy. If this will save some child's lives, hey, if you're speeding, pay the fine. You know, don't call me and try to help out because the answer is no on that.
If you're speeding, pay the fine, don't call me for help. Colton Wright again talking about some of the particular data on the two-day study that was done by the way the ordinance at the state is written, the statute, I guess, is written, is you have to do a speed study. And so you have to do the speed study before you can put in any of the cameras at the school zone. So they did a speed study. And guess what the speed study said? Everybody drives too fast in the school zones, which comes as exactly zero surprise to anybody.
Yeah, Commissioner Burkett, you bring up a good point. I mean, if you look at Benny Russell, you've got a speed limit of 20 mile an hour for the school zone, and you've got top speeds of 71 miles per hour, 60 mile per hour, and 55 mile per hour during a school zone and during school time. That's egregious. And
70 miles an hour in a school zone. Good Lord. You know, why are all these people going so slow around here? What's that flashing light? Why are those kids all over the place? What's going on? I don't understand what I'm seeing right now.
I can try to explain something, but I think it probably comes better from a man in uniform. Can you explain how difficult it would be for a school resource officer to be out there and try to deal with their normal duties and then somehow run down and track down a speeder and how that takes them off station?
Well, most of the resource officers are confined to the school because that's where the priority is for the kids, the staff, and the rider, the car rider line. So the school board was generous enough to hire deputies to work in the school zones. But let's say the school zone's 30 to 45 minutes long. Well, in that time when somebody comes flying through there and a deputy goes after them, at most, the deputy may be able to stop three cars if he's lucky. Well, how many do you miss because of the simple point that you can't handle the volume of cars that are coming through there? If you take Highway 98 or Highway 90 in the morning, I mean, it's just a barrage of cars that come through there going east towards the military bases. And we understand they have to go to work, but you have school buses, you have car rider lines that line up on 98 to try to get into the schools. There's just no way for one person to control that. And, you know, if we can reduce the amount of speeders through the zone, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, and it kind of cracks me up because even after Major Brinkman's, this is Doug and got the letters transposed. It's early. I've only had one cup of coffee. Even after he explained the logistical impossibility of really enforcing the speed zone, including the fact that the SROs can't leave anyway. The SRO is there to protect the kids at the school. The SRO, though he happens to be or she happens to be a cop, is not there to enforce the speed zone. Because in order to do that, they have to leave the post of, you know, protecting the kids. So you'd have to have an additional cop or two or three or 10. It's really not feasible for them to do it. And even if you had three of them there, you know, you couldn't do it effectively because there's still so many that would get through. The notion that, well, we just need to put more bodies out there with more lights and, you know, make that happen. How many? You got, what, 40-ish schools in Santa Rosa, 42, something like that, I think. So you're going to hire 42 times how many? Just one, two deputies times their salary plus their cars. How much money you want to put into this exactly? Or, I don't know, we could take a service that's being offered for free to the county that's going to generate revenue, small revenue, for safety purposes and the school and the state, you know, and the company doing it, but then maybe reduce the actual practice of speeding in school zones by, you know, like 94% is what their data indicates. I don't know. For free, we get a 90%+ reduction, or for very expensive, we get, I mean, if you put us a cop in every school zone, maybe you do get a reduction too. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer to me, but okay.
Even if you were to put three deputies there and running laser, you can still only stop three cars at any given time. So in 30, 45 minutes, there's no way you're going to stop, you know, even a third of what comes through there possibly speeding.
And again, part of the reason that people go for this, your municipalities or counties have been doing this, is because it works.
From the study that you have, Chairman, when they do their ad campaign, they have like a 94% reduction in all the areas that they've ever done it. Once they've run the ad campaign and then people get a 30-day grace period and then they start the enforcement, from the original numbers that you have to what happens after the cameras go into effect is like a 94 to 95% reduction, which is gigantic.
That's enormous. And it is, again, at no cost, to except for if you're a speeder. Which, you know, it's kind of funny. Bobby Burkett, he says, you know, my son used to always speed, and then he learned that if you don't speed, you don't get a ticket. It's kind of, you know, kind of weird how that works, cause and effect. So, John, I have a problem.
Well, we knew that, but yeah. let's start off with one.
If there were addiction recovery organizations for my particular problems,
it'd be complicated. Bro, it's complicated.
Sarcastic Persons Anonymous.
I know.
Disagreeers Anonymous. Annoying Jerks Anonymous. And then this one, Truth Tellers Anonymous. Yeah, I know. You wouldn't think that would be an addiction recovery group, but, I mean, apparently based on the number of people who have this issue and the number of people who don't have this issue, it's a minority. My addiction recovery group, Truth Tellers Anonymous, is I can't keep my mouth shut when I believe something is worth saying, even if I know it's a bad idea to say it.
We know. We all know, Brother Andrew.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Okay.
Say it.
There are reasons to oppose the school speed cameras. Now, one of them, and we'll deal with this later on in the show a little bit more, but one of them is the concern over due process, which is why the school speed cameras or the, was it red light tickets, I think, not schools, I forget which one it is. It doesn't, they both have the same basic problem, which is that because you're not, it might actually be speed. Anyway, it's the tag that catches the ticket, and the owner of the tag on the car, you know, license plate, is the person who gets the ticket. And then it's up to you to say that it wasn't you. It's the burden of proof is on you to then tell them who was driving your car or, you know, to prove that it wasn't you, which is a reversal because the, you know, conviction, you're supposed to be presumed innocent, right? Well, part of the answer to that is that if the evidence exists to switch the presumption, and if you have evidence of your car doing a bad thing, the presumption is you're driving it. It's not necessarily an airtight presumption, but there is something to be said about that. And there's also the issue that it's not tickets on your license. It's not a criminal infraction. It's simply a ticket for money. But then again, when the state is applying a fine, that's a penalty. You can kind of see where the, you know, due process objection comes in. That's not the one that concerns me the most. I think that's an interesting discussion. I don't think that one is the big deal. I'll tell you the ones that concern me. Be honest. Have you ever gone through a school speed zone and didn't realize it was until you were already in it or past it? 100% of all drivers have done this. I've done it. And I'll give you an example. Over on Olive, the school that's right west of 9th Avenue, I don't usually drive at school times, but I happened to be one day, and I didn't realize that school was there because there were no buses, there was no cop out front, there were no kids. It's recessed off the street quite a bit. The normal speed zone on Olive is 40, and it's 20 in the speed zone. And I got in the middle of it, oh, crap, slammed on brakes. I'm like, oh, I'm speeding through a school zone. Now, in subsequent days or in days where I'm more accustomed to it being there, you adjust. But it's that first time or two, especially when school starts up again or when they've changed it or something. Honestly, it happens. Now, that doesn't mean it's a great thing, but it's a weird enough thing that it's easy for a normally good driver to make the mistake. If I say it that way, John, do I sound like a complete idiot?
No.
Okay, that's part of it. And even, you know, you say, well, you should be paying more attention. Okay, yes, but should you get a ticket for that? I mean, you were breaking it. If a cop saw you, you could get a ticket. I get it. But, you know, I'm not talking about going 60. That makes no sense. But even if you're going the speed limit, you're 20 over. Or, like, I live near West Florida High School. It's a, God, it's 15 miles an hour in a 35. 15 is very slow. 15 is too much. And it's for high schoolers. I'm not talking about elementary school age. So, three objections, you might say. One is the due process issue. Another is the inadvertency, which is much higher for this than it is for regular traffic infractions, I think, and even for aware drivers. And the third one is when you have ridiculous speed limits. Now, you don't get it at 15 or 16 or 17. You get it at 26, right? 11 over. But I don't want to be the guy who's like, you know, hey, it's okay to speed in the school zones. But at the same time, if we have a plague of speeding in school zones, and we do, how many kids have actually been hurt? And the more extreme you make the behavior sound and we don't have actual incidents happening, then you start to wonder, well, how much does it make a difference really? Even though it's offensive and obnoxious and you see them and it's terrible, but are we actually seeing the problem? Well, how many kids have to get hurt for it to matter? No, I know. I get it. I'm just saying there are arguments to be made on the other side. And as a member of Truth Tellers Anonymous who cannot help myself to say the things that... The logic referee inside of me is like, you know, there's another side to this that nobody wants to be willing to say out loud because nobody wants to be the person who goes on the radio and like, I'm in favor of speeding in the school zone. I'm not in favor of speeding in school zones. I'm just saying it's, you know, there's another side to mention quietly. Maybe keep it to yourself in the future, Andrew. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you have a company, you have employees, you have benefits, you have health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you got to deal with HR, you got to deal with, you know, managing payroll, all of that kind of stuff. Well, guess what? That's not fun. You didn't get into business to do that, and you don't enjoy it, I assume, and that's why what I'm saying resonates with you. Now, if you love it and it's going great, I mean, cool, you know, great. But if you're normal, then you call Torkson Consulting because they like doing this. I mean, they're a little weird in this way. They like doing it. They're good at it. We've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 5 years, since 2021. They're fantastic. Gave us choices we didn't have, gave us plans we didn't know about, and customer service is outstanding. They always answer our questions right away in great detail, especially enough to satisfy my industrial engineer of a wife, which is, you know, hard to do. So give them a call. They will take care of you. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
What is website visitor ID? How much effort do you put into attracting people to your website without having any idea of who actually visits? With website visitor ID, you can collect the name, email address, physical address, and even demographic information from the people who come to your website, all without cookies. This is lead generation gold. It's called website visitor ID.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bob, I got a bad feeling on this one, all right? I mean, I got a bad feeling. I don't think I'm going to make it out of here. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Everybody got to die sometime, Red.
Those are the words of encouragement that you're looking for from your sergeant.
They are. They really are.
Everybody got to die sometime, Red. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. So, what is it? 10 a.m. our time is when we officially close the Strait of Hormuz today. after the negotiations break down because they want nukes and, you know, the President Trump does not want them to have nukes. And that's the main thing. But, you know, other stuff as well. They want reparations for the war. Well, you know, you shouldn't have done what you did. I mean, you know, for 47 years. Anyway, so and the Pope is, you know, criticizing Trump and Trump is criticizing the Pope. He's a liberal. He's, you know, soft on nukes and soft on crime. The world's in a weird place, you know? It's in kind of an odd place right now. But, you know, there you go. Oil's back up. The price of oil's back up because nobody really believes that the Strait of Hormuz is going to be transiting tankers anytime soon. We'll see. Now, a lot of the analysis pieces that I've seen online have to do with, you know, look, China gets 45% of its oil through the Strait of Hormuz. You know, even if it's open, that's good. If it's closed, that's better for the American position. You look at Venezuela, oil. You look at, you know, tankers coming to the United States empty and getting ready to leave full. You know, profiting coming to the U.S., energy control. What's that doing to Russia? I mean, you know, there's a lot of geopolitical issues in play here. And to what degree is Iran, you know, a part of this, or is this attack or war a part of it? Then again, don't you think that if Russia and China needed it, they could probably pressure Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz for their benefit, maybe? I mean, just a thought.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa.
We have a blockade going into effect.
The U.S. Navy preparing to enforce President Trump's blockade of the Strait of Hormuz at 10 a.m. Eastern.
President Donald Trump says that the U.S. will start blocking passage through the Strait of Hormuz. The president says the U.S. will also sweep the critical waterway of mines. U.S. Central Command explaining this weekend, quote, the blockade will be enforced impartially against vessels of all nations entering or departing Iranian ports and coastal areas, including all Iranian ports on the Arabian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman.
Fox's Alex Hogan in Washington. Pope Leo XIV arrives in Algeria, responding to criticism from President Trump.
I don't want to get into a debate with him. I don't think that the message of the gospel is meant to be abused in the way that some people are doing.
The president criticizing the Pope's position over the war with Iran. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3 62. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Brooke Richardson's got our full forecast, and we'll get that in just a few minutes. Two people were shot at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments on Truman Avenue in Escambia County on Sunday. Deputies responded to that call about 11:30 yesterday and found two victims with gunshot wounds. There were bullet holes found at two apartments. Both victims were taken to an area hospital. Right now, there's no details on what led to the shooting. The investigation into that case is ongoing. The Air Force Armament Museum at Eglin unveiled a new F-15E Strike Eagle exhibit on Friday. That exhibit honors the late General Robert Chedister, former commander of the Air Armament Center, who passed away in 2022. Well, an investigation continues after a small plane crashed near Baker on around Long Branch Farm Road Friday. Two people were taken to the hospital after the plane nosedived onto a private property. The pilot was able to get out, but a passenger was trapped and had to be extricated. Officials say both of those men were alert and conscious. After the crash, no word on their current condition. Florida Senator Rick Scott is calling on Congress to eliminate the Senate filibuster. Scott posted on Facebook that it's time to blow up the filibuster to allow passage of the Save America Act, and he also wants full funding for the Department of Homeland Security passed. He says the filibuster was never meant to serve as a permanent veto, and he's accusing Democrats of using it to block what he's calling America First legislation. A 16-year-old from Floralla, Alabama, was arrested last week after posting a photo of a gun online with a caption threatening to kill a student at Paxton School in Walton County. The suspect attends the school and was taken into custody before classes began. There's no other details that have been released in that case. Pensacola will be honoring active duty military members and veterans with the Navy Days Parade. That's happening on Saturday, May 9th. Mardi Gras crews and community organizations are invited to participate alongside military units and veterans groups. That parade, of course, will be drug and alcohol free with no throws permitted. Organizers say in the current global climate, it's more important than ever to show unified community support for service members.
534 News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing some beautiful sunny skies today with temperatures warming up into the upper 70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the mid-60s. Heading into your Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, temperatures warming up near 79 degrees. Heading into Tuesday night, back around 65 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures back near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 62, partly cloudy right now. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with your money now. Oil prices have surged roughly 8% this morning as the U.S. Navy prepares to impose a blockade on Iran's ports after peace talks failed over the weekend. West Texas Intermediate currently hovering at 104 per barrel. Brent currently at 102. TSMC, the world's largest manufacturer of advanced artificial intelligence chips, will likely notch up a fourth consecutive quarter of record earnings with a 50% surge in net profit for January to March, thanks to booming demand for AI infrastructure. Analysts say the demand for TSMC's 3-nanometer technology to produce AI chips and its advanced packaging technology continues to outstrip the firm's current production capacity. Reuters reports Chinese AI agent StepFun is unwinding its offshore incorporation structure to pave the way for a planned Hong Kong initial public offering as Beijing tightens scrutiny of a system widely used for overseas fundraising. Futures are moderately lower. That's your money now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's another gallery night in downtown Pensacola from 5 till 10. This month, it's a celebration of Navy Days. See GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Enjoy Florida Lighthouse Day at the Pensacola Lighthouse Saturday from 10 till 3. The free event includes games, activities, and fun for the family. Presented by Florida Arts and Culture. See PensacolaLighthouse.org. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Shout to the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy.
Oh no, we're doomed.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Here is today's sign of the apocalypse.
So, Canada, not known for being the great repository of conservative wisdom, exactly. But still, every once in a while, a piece of news comes out of our 52nd state to the north, and, well, Greenland first, right?
Yes.
I mean, Greenland's 51, and then 52. You don't want to give the Canadians 51. You got to make Greenland feel special if you're going to get the Danes to give her up, so.
You know, the piece of ice, as Trump calls it.
Right. Which it still is amazing to me. It's just one of the weirdest things. Like, Iceland is got like covered in green, and Greenland is covered in ice. I know. Yeah. It's just, you know, driving on the parkway and parking in the driveway. Anyway, so English is hazing. It just is. You know how in the in wartime you change all the road signs, you know, to screw up the enemy so that their maps lead them in the wrong places, you know? That's a good defensive thing you do.
That is.
Okay. I just think, you know, make the invading army speak English. They'll never penetrate. You know, it's just it's so impossible. English is terrible. Okay, so, which is why I love it. You know, that English being terrible is what makes it good for, like, poetry and music, and you have 53 words for the same exact thing, and you think, well, why? Well, because. So, you can say a true thing that misleads people, or, you know, a false thing that sounds right. Anyway, back to the point at hand after my tangent. So, Canada. The Journal of Public Health in Canada does a study. Survey, I guess it's really a study is when you do research, and a survey is when you ask people their opinion, but whatever. The research covers both. Asks when Canadian parents age 18 to 27, Gen Z and millennial, age 28 to 42, were asked how often do they spank or have they ever spanked their child? So 18 to 42 year olds with kids, have you ever spanked your child? John?
Yes.
I know you spanked your child because you love your kids and believe in the Bible, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. And you were spanked as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Because your parents loved you and believed in the Bible.
I read my mouth. There you go. I know.
Okay. Well, Andrew, you can love a kid without believing in the Bible. Shh. You're missing the point.
Right.
Okay, so 18 to 42-year-old Canadian parents, Gen Zs and millennials, were asked, what percentage of you ever spanked your kid? What percentage of them ever spanked their kid? You want to take a stab at this?
10.
Oh, they're just
Canadians.
It's 20.
I was close.
1 in 5. The headline is not 1 in 5. The headline is 80% say never.
That's part of their problem.
I know. 80% never spanked a kid. The prevalence of spanking history among Canadian adults is high, meaning that they're transitioning their society to total chaos. Of the 4,000 surveyed adults, when asked about perceptual beliefs about spanking, 15% of parents overall believe it's necessary to use spanking to properly raise a child. So they believe, the 5% believe they were improper for spanking a kid. I mean, it's a weird one, right? Wouldn't you think that more than the number who had done it, but okay, whatever. More than 72% did not support this belief. 10% said they did not know. I don't know. Nah, spanking, take it or leave it. and 2% preferred not to answer. Why are you asking me? Suspicious Canadians. 55% of parents reported experience being spanked, as opposed to, you know, 20% who have actually done it. 40% indicated that they were spanked between none and two times. If you were spanked so rarely that you can count them, that does not count as spanking.
No, it doesn't. Trust me.
Although, and I should acknowledge this, I did not get spanked a lot. I can actually remember. It was one time that I can remember. I don't think it was one, because my parents were liberals, you know.
And I was going to ask, did you like not run your mouth and stuff?
Oh, I drew on the wall of my parents' bedroom with my mom's.
And you remember
lips.
This?
I remember this because I remember traumatic. What happened afterwards, and I did not ever do that again.
You were an inspiring artist.
Nope. And, you know, I know my mom for her whole life. She's like, I don't know if I did the right thing. Yeah, you did the right thing. I learned the lesson. You probably should have spanked me more. Anyway, I mean, I certainly would have deserved it other times. 70 countries or states have legally banned corporal punishment in all settings. So they have banned the Bible or the practice of it. Anyway, I saw this and I thought, oh, Canada's doomed. Canada's in big trouble. If only 20% of their parents. And what I was annoyed at, you know, millennials and Gen Zs, kids who have kids now. So, which is hard to think about, like them being, I always think of them as still being the kids. Nope, I'm old. Let's see.
That's what our parents said about us.
I know. You know. We'll never make it. There was another one that had me thinking the same thing. Where was it? Oh, this is sort of I almost don't want to share it because you don't want to give wicked people ideas, but you know, wicked people come up with their own crazy ideas. Have you ever heard of an Alpine divorce?
What?
Exactly. Okay. An alpine divorce. It almost sounds like.
Do we use trees to hit each other?
Yeah, like up in the mountains where you're singing about the hills coming alive and you're dancing with Maria and, you know, what are you doing? And you've all got your liter jugs of Hofbrauhaus beer and you're dancing through the countryside or wine. Alpine sounds so uplifting and joyful. There's a 19th century short story about a guy who planned to murder his wife on the Swiss Alps. And this phrase came into the popular lexicon because there was a hiker accused of taking his girlfriend up into Austria's tallest mountain and leaving her there to freeze to death. Yeah, it gets serious when you start thinking about the real world actually doing it. And this is an actual story. Since then, the internet has had all kinds of less extreme, but similarly scary stories about women saying that their boyfriends take them up on hikes. The boyfriends get angry and they storm ahead, and then they storm ahead all the way back to the car and leave them out on the mountain. And, you know, being alone on a hiking trail, you know, if you're a novice or even if you are experienced, it's a crazy thing. So taking them up and basically abandoning them mid-walk for them to safely get back home if they ever did. One person said on TikTok, the most reputable news source there is in the world, "My ex dumped me after he took me hiking at night, made comments to freak me out, and I had a panic attack. I'm calling out to him. I can't keep up. Can you slow down? He acted like he didn't hear me. He goes faster." Another woman, different video, another TikTok, excellent source of news. "That was one of the scariest moments of my life. I'm crying, distraught, and he's just sitting in the car." Did you got back in that car? I don't know about that. But anyway, many patients, according to an Orange County psychologist that was interviewed for this story that was in Self magazine. I do not have my subscription renewed to Self, but you know, every once in a while you come across an article. Says some were broken up with during a hike. Many patients had some experiences. Some were taken to a different town or a city that they didn't know anybody. Partners walk very fast, leaving them behind. Specifics vary, but the same basic concept is that you get taken out in a place and, you know, taken out to the farm and left. The Shannon Chavez Karishi, I don't know what any of these acronyms mean, but she says outdoor settings are less confrontational than face-to-face, so it's like kind of ghosting them mid-activity, but it's a premeditated abandonment instead of breaking up with them. You just keep walking, like the old VeggieTales song. Keep walking. Come on now. You know you thought it as soon as I said it. Because you won't knock down our wall, because you won't end our relationship. I don't know. Anyway, cruel, cowardly, dangerous, bizarre, but that's it. Sign of the Apocalypse is the old alpine divorce. Which, at least in Florida, I mean, you could have the alpine. Can it be alpine without the hills? Is it just trees? What makes it alpine? Because Alp specifically means the Alps, but you can't really do this in Florida because our highest hill is, 400, 300 feet?
Or water.
Feet, like that.
That's true. You can use that as a good luck swimming.
You could take them out on the paddleboard and you go ahead and just keep going.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's not the same thing, but that's the same concept.
He jumped.
547. Shh. 547 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of sleep. I don't know how to get there from here. No, what? What do you mean?
Oh. I just was like, oh.
If you've had a bad night's sleep and you wake up in the morning feeling unrefreshed, achy, pained, you know, that's not the ideal. The point of a good mattress, a good sleep, is that you are refreshed, recreated, that you feel good in the morning. And you know if this is you, you know you can't get a good night's sleep probably because your mattress is bad because you need to get a new one. And maybe it was good for a while, but they don't hold out forever. Unless there's certain kinds. I mean, these, Tempur-Pedic sleep foam ones are just ridiculous, and they will hold up forever. But go to the sleep center. And I know you don't want to because you don't want to deal with the, you know, scuzzy mattress salespeople. I know you don't want to go to the place and feel pressured. It's expensive. You don't want to spend the money. It's inconvenient because, you know, how do I know that I'm getting a good mattress anyway? How do I know I'm going to like sleeping on it until I've slept on it? Well, that's why at the sleep center they've got the 30-day better rest guarantee, 60 days to return the mattress for store credit. And listen, they don't want you to bring back the mattress. That's why they try to make sure you get the right one in the first place. So they'll walk you through all of that. You know, what do you like? What don't you like? Lay on this. Lay on this. Try this. See what you like. You know, because that's the point, is to get you to really have a great night's sleep. And they don't have a commission, so, you know, if you want them to leave you alone, they'll leave you alone. Best selection in town, best service in town, best price. They've been here for 30 years. If you live here, you know all about the Sleep Center. And if you don't, or aren't from here for a long time, now you know. They're the place to go. Everybody's imitating them. Everybody's trying to, you know, pretend like one mattress store is the same as any other. No, not really. The Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You need information. News Radio 92.3.
What are you doing? There's enough banging there to send us all to Jesus. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die comfortable.
The cars are moving like a half a mile an hour, and I started staring at the passengers and waving goodbye. Can you tell me what was ever really special about me all this time? When I believe the world is burning to the ground.
Coming in here anytime, because anytime anybody anywhere plays a Matchbox 20 song, she shows up. She has a Matchbox 20 tattoo that she's very unproud of.
She does? Oh, yeah. I didn't even know that.
It's so adorable. 437-1620, 437-1620. What else? Oh, this is...
What?
I'm really torn because, like, the 13-year-old in me thinks that this story is hilarious. And the 55-year-old in me is like, man, that's good. That's important stuff. There's okay. So apparently, I just do it fine. If you're having problems when you go to the restroom, and not for the standing up kind, I don't know how to say this. if you're having trouble going number two. Okay, which is actually a really it's a really serious health thing, right? So the new book is, you ready for this? You've Been Pooping All Wrong, How to Make Your Bowel Movements a Joy. That's a great title for a book.
You're kidding.
John, David is over there working on other stuff, ignoring me for a second, but all of a sudden he's perked up. David is, no, seriously, Dr. Trisha, come on.
Oh.
Trisha, T-R-I-S-H-A. Patricia, P-A-S-R-I-C-H-A. Trisha Patricia writes a poop book? Anyway, so she says...
You didn't pre-read this
No,
one?
I did pre-read it, but I didn't... She's the director of the Institute for Gut-Brain Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, and she writes for the Washington Post. So this is a serious
story.
So
do you call her Trisha or Patricia?
It's Trisha Patricia.
Yeah, which one?
I feel like that's some name you made for somebody in grade school. Anyway.
Trisha Patricia.
Okay. She says, I'm quoting, "I just want you to poop quickly, effortlessly, and then go live your best life." She wants you to achieve the experience of poop for poop for you. I don't know whether it's Poop-phoria or Poo-phoria. Now, somebody who's just tuning into the show is like, what in the hell? Okay, but...
What you talking about?
How many people's health issues are related to... David is captivated by this conversation. He can't believe him. Right, David?
Well, yeah, I'm really... Okay.
No, but
this
seriously,
is very interesting.
How many people have issues? Have
we never
issues,
know.
Have...
Right, David?
Too you slow, too fast, different problems.
We all do
you
it
have.
Sometimes.
Right, everybody does yeah. it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here are the things that she recommends in her book. See what I mean? Like the 13-year-old thinks it's hilarious, but the 55-year-old's like, this is actually good stuff. People ought to hear this. Do look at it. And look at and see if there's, if it's watery, slippery, that's
so you don't
bad.
Give a courtesy flush?
No. I'm saying after, you know.
I know, but you give a courtesy flush first.
During?
Well, yeah, it's called a courtesy flush.
Okay, this is a whole different
this
conversation.
This is a whole other one.
Not going to do. If it's very, very hard, that's a problem. If it's very, very liquidy, that's a problem. If it's got red, that's blood. That's if it's white, that's a problem. These are problems I don't think I've ever exactly had, but okay. Number two, do eat more fiber. More fiber is better, right? You've been told that, but most Americans do not eat enough fiber. And if you use spices, too much spice can cause problems, but just enough spice is actually a help. I'm doing my best to do the quick summary. Do not consume a lot of ultra-processed foods with artificial sweeteners. Both are problems. Highly processed food, bad for your gut. Biome. I love that term. And artificial sweeteners, also bad. Do not spend more than 5 minutes.
What?
5 minutes is too long.
That's where decisions are made, man.
No. It's bad for, it's bad for hemorrhoids. It's bad for your pelvic floor. It's bad for the things that you don't want to have happen. Researchers link the two things. So if you're spending a lot of time in there, that's bad. Things aren't working well, and it's causing other problems. Get up and move. If you're having trouble moving, get up and move. If you feel blocked, like the Strait of Hormuz,
then you
get up and move around.
Stand and turn yourself
have
around.
Have a walk. Do some jumping jacks. Get up. Do some activity that your body reacts to motion. Don't bring your phone in there. It makes you sit there too long. That's bad. People who use their smartphones on the toilet are 46% more likely to have hemorrhoids than those who do not. People
reading
spend
material.
Five times more. No, you don't want, because that distracts you from the business at hand that you're supposed to be doing.
Well, you're doing the business at hand.
No,
while
you're not paying attention. You're reading. Oh. Light reading material at best, things that can be read quickly in a minute or two, comic strips, things like that.
Yeah.
And then this is the last one. I cannot validate for this one, vouch for this one personally, but I've heard this a lot, which is sitting upright is not the ideal. Leaning forward, like they say, Rodin's thinker statue, you know, where you're leaning forward on your, or like, have you seen the squatty potty thing where they put your feet up on the device? They say that's actually intended. Here we're going to get super, but you're going to know exactly what I mean. Have you ever watched a dog?
Yes.
High angle of attack.
Very high.
That's what you want. 90 degrees is not the ideal angle because
why do they make toilets like that?
Well, they make toilets poorly. Would it surprise you that a technology that was made by a guy named Crapper turns out not to be the best thing ever designed, you know?
Well, make it better, Andrew.
Add a step stool in the front, or they say yoga blocks, or, you know, something to put your... Again, I've never quite gotten into trying that one out, but that's what they say. All right, I have fully vacated this topic now, but... What? David, do you want to weigh in, David, somehow?
This has just been very informative, and I appreciate this.
Well, I mean,
where else am I going to learn about something like this?
Yeah, and who's going to be willing to talk about this on the radio? But it's an honest-to-God health thing that a lot of people have issues, and a lot of people have pain and suffering, and nobody talks about it because when are they going to bother talking about it? But there literally is this new book out. And I've heard some, read some news stories. And everything that I've told you, I think, is valid and accurate. So I wouldn't tell you
I'd
otherwise.
I'd like to move it.
Somebody texted that in.
Okay. Since we have exactly 1 minute and one half before the end of the hour, can I tell you the other news? In related news. Of all the things in the world to study, you ready? This one's crazy. Mm-hmm. But we're on, just
you
forgive
might as well.
Me.
It's 5 a.m.
Here we are. Which gender has the smellier farts?
Well, it's guys for sure.
There's actually been a study on the subject using ratings indexes and capturing devices. This is not work you brag to anybody about doing on a first date. But somebody out there has done the research. And you know what they found out? That's insane. I still can't believe somebody got funding to do it, and then they did it, and they wrote about it, and it gets published, and then this has been the fodder for late night jokes and on, but
I got published.
Here goes. Turns out it's women have the worst smell. But men have greater volume and frequency. So it's potency versus iterations, so to speak. And
oh boy.
Men put out more, but it's not the high grade stuff. It's not the high octane. It's sort of low. It's science.
Go get another cup of coffee.
Now you know. Mm-hmm. And knowing's half the battle.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3.